This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America, as we like to say when we venture across the border, racing across North America, as it were, because we are in Canada, in the Toronto area, live from Woodbine on Woodbine Mile Day. Always enjoy our visits to Woodbine. Hospitality is great. It's a great facility. I will again reiterate, if you haven't been up here, and even if you have been up here, schedule a trip. A few more weeks, the Woodbine International Day, you can get some great stakes action then, but just the racing in general, if you want to come up for a few days and spend it and check out Toronto and whatnot. But great facility with the two turf courses, the one turf course on the main side, which you don't see normally, but now the new inner turf course as well. So lots of great turf racing, which makes for fun betting opportunities. And as I say, the hospitality, the facility is great. Make your way up here, drive up the thruway to Buffalo, and then cut up. You have maybe another 45 minutes or an hour after that. Very easy drive to get up here to Woodbine. So if you haven't done it yet, or as I say, even if you have, schedule a trip again and stop up here to Woodbine. But we will be your surrogates on this Woodbine Mile weekend, as we will be live here both today with a nice lineup for Racing Across America, but again tomorrow as well. 9 o'clock tomorrow, live from Woodbine with some handicapping, the Sunday card, and then again 10 o'clock tomorrow, Racing Across America. And tomorrow's card, Woodbine Mile today, and number of stakes races, which we went over earlier on the handicappers report, and we'll hit on again as we go through Racing Across America. But tomorrow, the Summer and the Natalma for the two-year-olds. And Tom Bellhouse from West Point Thoroughbreds is in town. We'll have him on tomorrow, because in the summer, our friends at West Point, Decorated Invader, who ran a couple of nice races, excuse me, at Saratoga this summer, gets a shot in the summer here at Woodbine tomorrow afternoon. So we'll talk about that one on tomorrow's Racing Across America. Today, however, joining us a little bit later on, Peter Thomas for Natal, the End of Money podcast. And he's also got has a seminar up here this morning, taking a look at some of the stakes action. So we'll get some of his ideas and talk a little bit about maybe the Saratoga season a little bit as well, as Pete was in town and he was bouncing around as an ambassador for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation as well. We'll hit on a couple of those topics with Pete in a few. Also, Ernie Perry will join us live, one of the clockers up here at Woodbine. You also see him on the pregame show normally, so we'll get some of his opinions on the stakes action as well. But on a week where the Baffert story kind of hit everybody square in the eyes, and I have various opinions about that that we will hit on as time progresses down the road. Also, news over the past few days, Monomoy Girl, unfortunately, doesn't look like make it to the races this year, but they're saying as a five-year-old. We had talked to Brad Cox at Saratoga earlier. We had talked to Sal Kuhman earlier. And the hope was Monomoy Girl was going to make it back. It doesn't look like that's the case. So news over the past, what, 3 or 4 days on the racing world, kind of everybody's hair on fire a little bit, and not the best of news. But best of news that there is a great card here at Woodbine today. Got Stormy, Pink Lloyd, some potential very, very nice stories coming out of this afternoon. And as I say, we will hit on it as we progress through this next hour. We were on the backstretch yesterday. It was a windy, blustery morning, opposite of today, which looks like it's going to turn out to be a very nice Saturday afternoon here in the Toronto area, but yesterday on the backstretch, caught up with a number of connections of the players both today and tomorrow. We parsed out the interviews with Saturday action and Sunday action, so you'll see some of these folks again tomorrow talking about their Sunday runners. But as far as Saturday, we'll kick things off with Robert Tiller. Pink Lloyd, Horse of the Year here in Canada a couple of years ago. At the end of last year, he maybe trailed off a little bit with a couple of off-the-board finishes. And so as a six-year-old, you thought, man, is he getting a little long in the tooth? Well, so far this year, he's come back as a seven-year-old, 5-for-5. And we talked with his trainer yesterday, Robert Tiller, clearly and justifiably very proud of Pink Lloyd. So Pink Lloyd in the Bold Venture this afternoon, we'll hit on that. And El Chairman, a two-year-old maiden. We talked to some of the players also. You know, you're making those pick bets or whatnot. You want to know about some of these debut runners or runners with maybe not too much experience on the two-year-old scene. So we hit on some of those with a number of the trainers. And as I say, Robert Tiller has El Chairman as a two-year-old, and we hit on that one as well. So up next, trainer Robert Tiller.
Bold Venture on Saturday, Pink Lloyd, 5-for-5 so far this year. We were up Queen's Plate weekend, talked to you. He put a couple of wins together already after a couple of off-the-board finishes last year, so I think we're happy with the way the season started. He's added three more wins.
5/16 and Circle of Friends and Pink Lloyd renew their rivalry. Pink Lloyd breathing down Circle of Friends' neck. A length and a half away, the other's Magical Man. Dixie's Gamble, three wide, hold him for ransom the center. As Pink Lloyd goes up and joins Circle of Friends and a neck in front, Pink Lloyd, Circle of Friends fighting on a little bit, and they're clear by about four lengths to Dixie's Gamble, and then it's a rush away from the opposition, and Pink Lloyd goes on to a 21st win, the gift that just keeps on giving. And
talk a little bit about the 5-for-5 season so far.
Well, it's tremendous. It's absolutely amazing. 19 stakes. I think it's 22 wins. So, you know, what do you do for an encore? We've got to hope we can keep doing it. If we can't, that's okay, too. I mean, I believe he's just doing real good right now.
I read a press release just within the past couple of days that said you're kind of running out of words to describe him, but just talk a little bit about overall the career and how special Pink Lloyd has been. A couple of years ago, Horse of the Year up here.
Well, he's so dear to our hearts. I mean, he's not a horse. He's a half-human, and he's so smart, and you know, I've never seen anything like him. Not in my 50-year training career, so, I mean, we love him to death, and you know, he never raced till he was 4, and here he is at 7, as good as ever. And, you know, just, like I said before, he's just wants to do it. He loves going after horses. He carries weight. He comes from anywhere on the racetrack. And when he's in good order, he's just going to want to win. He's got that desire. He's got the heart desire of a true champion.
You talk about him being smart, half-human. How does that manifest itself? What do you see?
Well, you know, at the barn, and the way he trains, when we talk to him, he understands what you're saying, believe it or not. And there are very few horses like him. He's a very intelligent horse, extremely intelligent. And he loves what he does. You've got to like what you do. I don't care if you're a human or a horse. And he likes what he does. He really, really enjoys it.
Talk about how he's training into this race and what you expect on Saturday.
You know what? I mean, I got to be truthful. He's carrying 128 pounds. His last start, it was a restricted stake, you know, and he was so good for the race, and he'd had 5 weeks in between. So this start is 2.5 weeks. That's a concern, but I haven't been concerned the last couple of days. He's going to go out there in 10 minutes. He was very happy yesterday, very happy the day before. So carrying 128, it's a horse race. I expect him to run really, really well. And he's doing very, very well. So there's no reason to believe that he's going to throw a bad one. And, you know, hopefully we can do it again.
We certainly wish you good luck with Pink Lloyd, but we always also want to check on the two-year-olds. The future, you have some two-year-olds coming up on the weekend, and let's get some ideas there. The eighth race on Saturday, El Chairman debut, looks to be working well. What are your thoughts for El Chairman on Saturday?
Yeah, it might be a little short for him, but he can run that horse. He'll finish up, and, you know, we have to run him somewhere, so he's okay.
Well, we certainly wish you good luck with those two-year-olds on the weekend, but particularly Pink Lloyd, because, as you kind of alluded to, a fan favorite as well. So I think everybody's looking forward to Saturday.
He's a horse of a lifetime. He's more than a fan favorite to me. I mean, people should – I'd love to see him win again in front of the audience. Like I said, this would be a great win if he could win this. And, you know, we're just blessed to have him. We're very blessed to have this horse. And, you know, what will be will be. But I believe he's going in there in real good order.
Good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, Bud. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks and good luck to Robert Tiller and Pink Lloyd. 26 starts, 21 wins. Phenomenal. Nick Gonzalez, we caught up with him on the backstretch as well. And the Woodbine Miles Silent Poet, who comes in very good form. Also, again, he has a maiden runner that may be worth paying attention to. Got some ideas anyway for Romantic Gizmo, but I think that's a little bit of interesting breeding by Giant Gizmo. I like those horses up here on the synthetic as they're early in their career. So up next, trainer Nick Gonzalez.
All right, coming up on Saturday, Woodbine Miles Silent Poet comes in off a couple of nice races so far this season. And just looking at the PPs, I'm curious, do you think he's improved 4-year-old?
He really has. I mean, he was a decent 3-year-old, and, you know, he showed us at the end of his 3-year-old year, he started coming on good. And, you know, he had a great win in Ocala, and we were, you know, optimistic about his 4-year-old campaign, and, you know, we just couldn't be any happier the way he ran his first two races.
Comes out of the Play the King.
Sable Island in front. Silent Poet angling for run. Admiralty Pier coming on the outside. Comanute's the center. El Tormentor, Tara Trip. And down the outside, Curlin's Honor. Silent Poet's run clear. Silent Poet chased home by Curlin's Honor out wide. On the inside, Sable Island. Then Admiralty Pier. Silent Poet in front. And Silent Poet showing no signs of stopping. And Silent Poet wins the Play the King Stakes hands down. Two lengths to Sable.
A nice win there, 100 buyer figure. What was the takeaway from the Play the King, and how's he coming into Saturday?
Well, like I say, he came here from Ocala great. We ran him in that one prep race going 6.5. And that, you know, before the Play the King was his best race of his life. And then, you know, he just took that next step in the Play the King. And, you know, our rider, Gary's very confident. He said he had a couple more gears, and, you know, we're going another eighth of a mile. That doesn't look like it's going to be the way he galloped out in the Play the King.
I'm curious, as I say, it was a 100 buyer last time. Do you look at speed figures as you plan your training regimen?
Well, it's all relative, but listen, at the end of the day, you know, it's how you show up on the big day, and, you know, we're just happy with the way he's going into the race. I didn't breeze him in between races because it came back in 3 weeks, but we took him up last Saturday up to the Marshall Turf Course there and gave him a nice gallop, and he's just a happy horse right now, and, you know, we're optimistic.
Very good. Good luck there. Always like to check in with two-year-olds, and you have a couple coming up on the weekend. The sixth race on Saturday, Romantic Gizmo. I like the Giant Gizmos up here when they debut on the synthetic surface. What are your thoughts Saturday for Romantic Gizmo?
Yeah, she's one of those fillies that's been pretty simple all year. She hasn't done a thing wrong since she's been here. Training forwardly, and Louis Contreras breezed her for us the last time. He popped her out of the gate for us, and she, you know, breezed quite well, and going 5'8", she looks like she's a quick little thing, so we'll just see what happens.
Again, Silent Poet for Nick Gonzalez. A couple of starts so far this year, 6.5 furlongs, 7 furlongs, improving buyers, stretching out in third start back. I think interesting at 15-1 on the morning line. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Peter Thomas for Natal will join us a little bit later on, also in the green room. Ernie Perry, clocker here at Woodbine. All of that right after this. Stay tuned. Here's some exciting news if you like Twilight Racing. Weekdays during the 2019 Belmont Fall Meet, NYRA has moved back their racing schedule by 2 hours, making the new post time at Belmont 3 p.m. So remember, weekdays at Belmont, the new post time is 3 p.m.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Now it's a global series. The best racers from all over the world, the best trainers, the best jockeys.
You can get a free entry into the Breeders' Cup, and everybody wants to run in a Breeders' Cup race.
You get your travel expenses paid for the Breeders' Cup.
Automatic berth takes a lot of pressure off.
If we're considering two different races, and one was a winning you're in and one was not, that would be the tiebreaker.
It's probably the best thing that's happened to racing in the last 10 years.
Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Welcome back to Racing Across North America, as it were, live from Woodbine. And look who's here. Saw him down in Saratoga. Now we see him up in Woodbine. Peter Thomas Fornatale in the Money Podcast and much, much more. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. Great to be with you. Great to be at Woodbine. Such a fun day of racing we have in store for us today, and some fun auxiliary activities as well. We've got this little seminar coming up here that I'm going to post as a podcast later over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, and then, of course, the Woodbine Mile Day Tournament as well.
Which is one of those tournaments. I was talking with one of the folks up here at Woodbine yesterday. I think, a couple of seats to the NHC and a BCBC seat available?
And don't forget the cash. Cash as well. It's... This tournament has become a regular spot on the dance card for a lot of tournament players. And what I really love about it is we've developed kind of a Ryder Cup feel with the USA players against the local players. And it's always fun to see who's going to come out on top.
A Capital OTB player a couple of years ago took the tournament here.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
so,
right.
So we are very proud of our local guys. And I want to say he also won. We do a bounty bet. I think he won the bounty. Do you know if he won? Yeah, we'll hit the bond. We do a special promotion every other Friday, and he picked up a little extra cash with the bounty bet a couple of weeks ago as well. So a prime handicapper down at Capital OTB shows up here. Before we get to today and talking a little bit about the seminar and whatnot, I wanted to go back to Saratoga. I was talking to you when we were off the air, because at Saratoga we talked to you, met you at some of the events, but you and Jonathan Kinchin, essentially, I guess it would be fair to call you kind of roving ambassadors this summer for the TRF, our friends at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And how'd that work out?
It worked out in an amazing way. We are so proud to have them as partners slash sponsors in the In the Money Media Ventures. They were actually our founding partner before, right at the very beginning of the company days. I saw Kim Weir in a yoga class right on Broadway in Saratoga. And that conversation turned into this partnership. And I love it because it's become much more of an understood thing in the last several years that horse players can really contribute in a positive way to the lives of these racehorses when their racing days are over. TRF has a storied history of taking horses from off the track, finding new careers for them, finding homes for them, and it just makes me feel so good, better than anything else we do, better than giving out a 10-1 winner on the podcast, is the knowledge that we can help this process. And in that ambassadorial role, got to participate at a bunch of events. We always encourage people to give through our website, or really through their website, our page, trfinc.org/players. And we have a little thermometer there tracking how much money we've raised, and it's been a fabulous success.
Yeah, they had a number of events. I was going to pull up a picture. I forgot to do it. The Racing City Brewery event that they had.
That was
and
great.
And you were drawing the raffle, the 50-50. And
who won that? I can't remember.
It was my best win of the season. It literally was. That's the sad part. But there were a couple of false starts where the names were pulled and the people had already left and you had to be present to win. And I sat there and said, oh, I'm still alive. And then the next one up, you laughed. And I thought, oh, okay. Then sure enough, I won the 50-50.
We should have put that picture up. That was a fail. Maybe we'll tweet that later. It's very entertaining.
It's floating around out there. I had to recreate it, though, for a couple of people. But I was happy to do it. And the open barns are always fun, too, so people should keep that in mind for next season.
Definitely. I'm so glad you mentioned the open barns, because this is one of the sort of low-key, coolest things you can do with a family in Saratoga. You have a chance to go. It was up at the Polo Barn. Is it Bloomfield Farm or Broomfield Farm? and you get to meet a couple of the retired racehorses, see a beautiful setting right in Saratoga. And my daughter loved learning to feed racehorses. Now, she was very good with the peppermints and the flat palm. She got that. But when it got to the hay, she did get the hand a little up high and did get a little nip from one of them. But very great thing for kids to have a chance to interact directly with these beautiful animals and support the amazing work that the TRF is known for.
Yeah, and again, I'm amazed that Kim made it happen with you, the Oakland kid, who was one of our favorites. We have her on every year as well, and she's buzzing around, does a great job for the TRF. The yoga class, huh?
Yes.
It's Saratoga, it's funny what happens away from the track. It's just as important what happens on the track.
I tell you, I'm a yoga practitioner, and this studio, I'll give them a plug, Yoga Mandali on Broadway. It's as good as anywhere in Brooklyn or anywhere in the world where I've practiced. It's a grade one yoga studio.
All right.
And yoga helps with horse playing because, you know, when you're trying to manage all the highs and lows and, you know, various wagering pain and not getting too excited, remembering to breathe once in a while and being stretched out. These are good qualities for a horse player. I got to write an article about that, actually.
Yeah, I have to give it a shot. Anything that helps, I'm all for. And speaking of helping, let's see if we can help folks out today. Because, again, shifting from that Saratoga meet, which was a lot of fun, it's great to come up here a couple of weeks after the meet. We were looking forward to our visit Woodbine Mile. It's a fun weekend and a fun card. I mentioned earlier, great potential stories. Pink Lloyd got Stormy off the two nice wins a week apart down at Saratoga. And why don't we jump in and get some of your thoughts. Again, you have the seminar up here a little bit later on, so you've looked at some of the action. Let's get some thoughts first on the Woodbine Mile. I went with Got Stormy, but I get it for folks who think, boy, did those two races close together down at Saratoga take a little bit of the starch out of her. Raging Bull's in my mix. Silent Poet, I think, comes in good form. Synchrony, Made You Look, both have chances as well. What are your thoughts in the mile?
I have one a little bit under the radar, maybe. The other filly, Awesome Tank. I was just so impressed with her run in the Beverly D. That pace was so fast there. She attended it. She attacked it. She was the only one who was there early who was anywhere at the end. And I just thought that the cutback here to the sort of testing one-turn mile, I think she's going to be in a really good position in the running of the race, and I think she's got a lot of talent. And you ran down the field, and there's some very impressive runners in here. Certainly, if Got Stormy brings her A game, they're all running for second. But I think Awesome Tank might offer a little bit of value, and I think I'll mess around trying to get her somewhere with some of the other logical contenders that you mentioned.
And I have utter respect for the people who make the morning line. I just, to me, this would be a hard one to make. 8-1 on the morning line. I could go either way. I could see the betting public going either way with this one. I could see floating up a couple of points even for Awesome Tank.
Yeah, it's hard to know what the vibes will be and where the wagering public is going to go. But between the Got Stormy and that narrative that's going to take hold about is she Teppan 2, and the fact that you have multiple Chad Brown runners, Synchrony, who I think has valid claims and might get bet even lower than the sixes on the morning line, I could see Awesome Tank sneaking away at a decent number. But I think some pace-oriented handicappers are going to see what I saw, and they might come for her a little bit too. We'll have to see, but pretty much wherever she is in the betting, I think I'm going to be able to find some way of constructing tickets where I can get her first, second, third that'll make sense.
All right, let's get some thoughts on the Northern Dancer. And we talked about this on the handicappers report earlier. I'm taking a little shot against Old Persian. Now, did win the Shima Classic. I may kick myself afterwards. I put a 3-6-5-1, so I put that one down in the fourth spot. Focus Group for Chad Brown. The last couple weren't much, but I think looking at the complexion of the rest of this field, may have found a field where the horse can break through a little bit. But Tis a Slam, pace advantage potentially. We talked with Roger Atfield yesterday, and that's coming up a little bit later on. He said the horse doesn't have to be on the lead. I just think looking at the rest of this field, he'll try to take them all the way. So to me, those two are a little bit interesting. But as I say, I may kick myself about Old Persian. Your thoughts on the Northern Dancer?
On form, Old Persian is supposed to win. Even the German race, I think, is probably good enough to win this. Yeah. That was a slowly run weight race. There was a little bit of trouble getting a run. So Old Persian, running back to the Shima Classic form, a $6 million race would be impossible to down. But I get it. We've seen this happen before with Godolphin runners who have a campaign in Dubai, not always coming fully back to form. So at the short price, if you wanted to try to beat him, I think you mentioned the correct horse to do so, and that's Tizza Slam. Whether Tizza Slam wants to take the lead or if Cooler Mike wants to go on a mission and Tizza Slam could just sit in behind, Tizza Slam is certainly going to be ahead of Old Persian at the pace call. This is one that really depends on the prices, but what I could see happening here is having a win bet on Tizza Slam and a one-way exacta Old Persian over Tizza Slam, and then I'm going to have plenty of Old Persian in my horizontals because probably just too good on form. But I do think your point of view of maybe wanting to take a shot against, if Old Persian's going to be 1-2 or something, I think that makes a lot of sense. We'll just have to see what the market does.
Yeah, I'm going to be intrigued to see if my opinion was right or wrong in that race. But again, on the horizontals, you can take your shots at the 20-cent increment and play around. And I've said before, even at the 20-cent increment, if you beat one of these big favorites, and certainly if you beat a couple in those picks, the payoffs are still quite attractive. So jump in and take your shots this afternoon. We were also talking before we went on the air, and you thought you might have a little bit of an opinion in the Canadian race number 7. I went with Competition of Ideas over Starship Jubilee, and it looks like those two to me, which I could have gone either way with. But I said when on the handicapping show, when I looked at Holy Helena, I almost put her on top because she's one of those horses I kind of count out, and then she gets it done. I just was unsure about the layoff since late June, so I wound up tilting a little bit against her, put her on the third spot. Your thoughts on the Canadian?
Holy Helena, another one of these local heroes we get to see, adding some star power. That was fun seeing her win this year on the Queen's Plate Day and just sort of cement her status in the Woodbine fans' hearts. Yeah. But wagering-wise, I'm going to try to get a little tricky here. I'm a big Starship Jubilee fan in general. Competition of Ideas, very obvious claims, but one who, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong to try to hang a character flaw on her, but I do feel like she's maybe supposed to have won a little bit more than she has. I don't fully trust, I guess is what I'm trying to say, at what I think will be a short number. I give Magnetic Charm the littlest bit of a squeak in here. Getting in so light, I'd love it if they just tried to go to the lead. Now, I know that's not, Haggis does not typically train them to be front runners, but she did win the sprinting in the maiden victory going right to the lead. And I think there's a chance we could see the Queen's colors in the winner's circle here at what should be a really big price. I just, on form, doesn't fully make sense, doesn't really look to match up against these. But I think there's some reasons why Magnetic Charm can run better, not the least of which is I don't think she was really on the right part of the racing strip at Ascot on the last day. That was a day when the inside seemed a little bit, the runners further away from that rail seemed like they were running better than horses who were down where she was. I think she could be an interesting item.
I do love that owner, the Queen.
The Queen.
and does get in with a feathery 110, so you may be on to something there. Pete, before we let you go, I'll let you once again tout the In the Money podcast because you and Jonathan Kinchin and now you have various other people in covering other topics. I see Gabby Gaudette doing some on the sales breeding side as well, but just touting where can people find it and what weekdays do they look for, et cetera, et cetera.
We are at a point now where we're doing a show pretty much Monday through Saturday. It's a whole network now. You can find all the shows at inthemoneypodcast.com. If you subscribe to podcasts via SoundCloud or iTunes, search for In the Money Players Podcast. And yeah, we have a breeding and sales specific show. We have a handicapping specific show hosted by a Saratoga regular, Spencer Lugenbuehl. That's called Redboard Rewind. That's one of our early week shows. And then on the flagships, and then we work with partners like Woodbine, like Naira, and we do special shows. So if you go to inthemoneypodcast.com, you'll see everything available. And, of course, I'll mention also I get to talk with our buddy Steve Bick once a week over on the At the Races radio as well. So plenty of my act if you're looking for more of it.
And just looking at the In the Money information, you and Kinchin hit on a little Baffert news. So if they want your opinion there, I said I'm holding off on that. I have too much to get into today. But at some point down the road, I'll head into that as well. But I'm assuming the sales report, there were some fireworks down at Keeneland, certainly.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, lots of news about the $8 million yearling, the $4 million yearling. We had Jacob West on talking about some of his purchases. And, of course, lots of run happy chatter as well with the splash he's made at this Keeneland sale.
Pete, we appreciate the visit, certainly. Good luck this afternoon, and hand out some winners at the seminar later.
That's the plan, my friend.
Peter Thomas for Natal, again, the In the Money podcast. Check it out. All right, as we head to a break, we'll have a couple of taped interviews first. Eureka Rosa da Silva. Again, tomorrow we're going to have that little segment where he talks about his retirement, which was kind of a surprise, although he says he's been thinking about it for quite a while now. But today we're going to talk a little bit. He's on board Pink Lloyd. And then in the Woodbine Mile, a little bit of a long shot, El Tormenta. Up next, Eureka da Silva.
Some of the horses over the weekend, and one of the highlights, certainly, we talked with his trainer, Robert Tiller, Pink Lloyd, who just a very special horse. You could see it talking to the trainer, but you've been on board him. Plenty of wins, plenty of stakes wins, a Horse of the Year campaign a couple of years ago. Talk about Pink Lloyd, just overall, and your thoughts on Saturday's Bold Venture.
He's doing very well right now. He's just a fantastic horse. He has a lot of billet, and he's very consistent. I'm just looking forward to riding him.
Robert Tiller's trainer said he's smarter than normal horses. Do you sense that when you get on board?
100%. You know what? For some reason, he knows, when I'm riding him in the race, like, he senses where he needs to take over, and he just take over.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other stakes performers in the Woodbine Mile. You're going to be for the first time on board El Tormenta. Second last time to Silent Poet. That was actually a couple starts back, the second to the nice Silent Poet. What do you do? What's your game plan in a horse that you're jumping on board for the first time? And thoughts on El Tormenta?
First, I trained him. I was very, very happy with the way he trained. I'm a long shot in the race, but I have a lot of faith on him. I think he's going to run very well, and the plan is let him be happy where he is. Let him choose the position. Hopefully that I can run where he is. He's very relaxed, and that's what I'm looking forward to do.
So you have been on him in the morning. I assume that's important to give you a little familiarity with the horse.
Yes, and he's very, very talented horse. Saturday he put together. He's going to be right there with them.
Again, tomorrow we'll have Eurico da Silva on to talk a little bit about his retirement announcement. So tune in for that tomorrow on Racing Across America. Unfortunately, Mark Cassie with Got Stormy doesn't come into town until today. So when we were on the backstretch yesterday, we got his assistant, but talked with him about some of the Cassie runners over the weekend. So that includes, obviously, Got Stormy. This will lead right into the commercial break. So we're going to hear from David Adams after the commercial break, joining us live. Clocker here at Woodbine, Ernie Perry. But up first, Mark Cassie assistant, David Adams.
Talk a little bit about, obviously, the horse of the day. We're based down in the Saratoga area, saw her win the two races down at Saratoga.
The half mile was 44.61 seconds. It is Gidu playing Catch Me If You Can. He's got an eight-length lead as he motors round the far turn. And then it's Made You Look in second. Dr. Edgar is third by another three. Then Got Stormy on the inside, who's moving well from fourth. Ostilio's under a lot of pressure. Meanwhile, Uni's at the back of the pack. And Gidu turns for home in front. Made You Look now moves up right alongside after three quarters in 108.36 and grabs the front. Got Stormy is finishing fast. March to the Arch is charging in. Uni is two. But as they come to the final 16th, Got Stormy has taken the lead. And Got Stormy, the filly, did it in the four-star Dave.
Got Stormy coming in for the Woodbine Mile. How long has she been in town? How she looks since she arrived?
She's been here since Monday. She looks great. Since then, she's been training really well. And so we can't really complain about anything.
And she won the Ontario Cotillion here over the turf course. So certainly the Woodbine situation isn't going to be an obstacle, given she already has a win up here.
No, it won't be at all. We breeze over the turf since she came out here, and she loves it. And she breezes really well on it.
Very good. Also on Saturday, the Bold Venture, you have Curlin's Honor. Been knocking at the door with a couple of thirds and a second in the last three starts. Cuts back in distance on Saturday. Curlin's Honor and the Bold Venture, what are the thoughts there?
We thought that he should run well. We think he ran well in there. Yeah.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flicks Bar, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Here he is, the man. 1 o'clockers up here at Woodbine, Ernie Perry. Have him on when we visit here typically because he's out there in the mornings getting some good info. But now I see you've joined the team. You're doing the pregame show as well.
Yeah, thanks. I fill in once in a while. Yeah. I really enjoy that. My clocker segment's gone from that to a little bit of pregame.
Yeah.
Just filling in, and I like that.
Also, we were talking before he went on the air. I was talking handicapping show and with Pete as well, talking a little bit about the morning line. You're the morning line. And I was talking as we were off the air, and you were laughing. I said I had David Aragona on down at Saratoga, and I said, it's a tough job because if you do it right, nobody notices. They only notice if oh, that line was off.
Oh, way off. The good news about it is it made me grow a thick skin, I'll tell you that for sure.
Sure. And I've always said it is a tough job. I have all the respect in the world for you guys. And, you know, just looking at the morning line on a daily basis doing the handicapping show for Woodbine, I think you're spot on pretty much most of the time.
Thanks.
What is tough also in Aragona, the two-year-old races where they haven't raced.
Yeah.
You get the ones where you've got it about 8-1, you look at the board and it's 8-5. It's just the words out.
Yeah.
They knew.
Yeah.
They knew, but you didn't know.
But I didn't. And the Europeans, coming from Europeans, it's tough to get a read on that form. But there's a lot of in the knows that I don't know.
Exactly. As I said, it's a tough job, but you do a good job up here.
Thanks.
Before we get into today, I also, how was your visit to Saratoga? Because towards the end of the meet, we were walking out, and you were right behind us.
Yeah.
You know, so we shot the breeze a little bit out in the parking lot. How'd you enjoy your visit?
Oh, it was brilliant. Thanks to Eric Donovan. He helped us out there, put us up. You know, we caught the pick five one day, and Travers, it was unbelievable. That's just my go-to place.
Yeah.
I have to go. I love to get out there more than once, but it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I always say to people, Saratoga is the place that makes fans. Because,
and
I tell people around town, I see a lot of people, unbelievably, I still, you know, I live over in Boston Spa and run into people. I've never been to the track. I say, you don't have to be a horse racing fan. Go watch the music. People watch.
Yeah.
Pick your favorite number, play a couple, and if you cash your ticket, you'll become a fan.
Yeah, and for us that have been in the industry for a long time, that, you know, it's a daily grind sometimes, it's just rejuvenating to go there. It makes you realize why you liked horse racing in the first place. So it's a great place.
Big crowds, and there'll be a big crowd up here today because you guys do a great job on your big days. Certainly, Queen's Plate weekend, we had a great time. And there was a big crowd here, and obviously with the stakes card today, there'll be a big crowd and people playing not only here but across the country. So let's give some ideas.
Yeah.
Woodbine Mile, I've talked about it a couple times already. I'm a homer. I will admit it. Off the two nice wins down at Saratoga, I'm going to tilt towards Got Stormy. What are your thoughts on the mile?
Yeah, so very tough to get past Got Stormy. And, you know, let me ask you, what do you think the horse goes off at in this race?
Got Stormy, again, I'm not sure what people are going to make of the two big races a week apart and how much they will penalize her for that.
Yeah.
I think your 8-5 is probably, I could see that. I think you're pretty close. I would say maybe ticks down to 7, but I don't think...
Yeah.
Given the scenario, much lower than that. So I think you're probably spot on.
Well, I'll tell you, from training perspective, the horse is handling the track fantastic. Blew out the other day a half of 49. Took a nice run to the pole, galloped out well. So definitely loves the surroundings for sure.
So which direction are you going to tilt in?
Well, I'm going to be the same. You hate to come on a show and give out horses and give out 8-5 shots, but... It is what it is. I think she's going to be just too tough in here.
The one, though, that I mentioned, Silent Poet. Now, the 15-1, that is going to be interesting off the first two. And to me, and I'll ask you as a guy making the line, I think bettors rely on buyers a lot these days.
Yeah.
And with that 100 buyer, that one might take some action. But if this one does float at that 15-1, I'll play a little Silent Poet perhaps too off the first couple.
Yeah, so it's just a question of how low Stormy goes. And I got to believe Raging Bull should take some money as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So once they get low, everybody tends to float up a bit, right?
Yeah.
So it's that middle part that, but if you
Synchrony's going to take some money.
Yeah, Synchrony's going to take some money. Lucklin should take some money, right? But 15-1, I think you should get 12-15 in that range. And if you like the horse, it's a great price.
All right, let's go a little bit earlier on the card to the Canadian. Competition of Ideas and Starship Jubilee. I said those two attracted my attention a little bit. Holy Helena, though, I may regret. She's just, yeah, I tend to discount her, and she runs very well. But as I say, I could have flipped the Competition Ideas, Starship Jubilee, either way. What are your thoughts on the
Canadian?
Yeah,
I agree, but the competition needs a lot of pace to run at. I've settled on Starship Jubilee, another one that's trained fantastic, and I think you can get 7-2, 4-1. I like to race at the Boston Spa, and if you can get 7-2, 9-1, she's a home horse for course for sure.
Yeah, six times in the exact and 11 starts over the Woodbine Turf. Speaking of the Woodbine Turf, I'll get your opinion, because I asked some of the trainers yesterday when we came up here for Queen's Plate. The inner turf was brand new, just from the perspective of sitting up here in the stands and watching it all summer. How's the inner turf play?
Yeah, it's great. It's great for betting. I mean, a lot of the races, so we've had a nice turf sprint series here, and they've been four-horse photos almost every race. So a lot of the races, they're blanket finishes, and that was the whole point of it. You know, when the rail's out, maybe speed carries a little more. But a lot of the races, they're all staying tight in a group and finishing that way.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, that is what you like. Yeah. Fun to watch and fun to play as well. All right. When you sat down, I said, you got anything maybe clever today? And you thought maybe in the sixth race with the two-year-olds, there was something there. And I'm going to be interested to hear your opinion, because I've written at the top of the page, nothing jumps out to me. At these races, I like to look at connections and auction prices and maybe workouts and the breeding. And I just... So I wound up with the Ken and Sarah Ramsey and Wesley Ward. Why? It's Wesley Ward, two-year-old sprint, and I went in that direction. But what are your thoughts on the six?
So that horse has been working great. Patrick Husbands has been aboard. Very easy, beating the same horse in company. So now you have to decipher how good is that horse in company, right? So I like the horse. The horse has been doing it easy. I really like Romantic Gizmo on top, though. I'd play an exacta with that one on top. They had a first-time starter, Take Charge A, that we really liked, that one at 8-1. The barn's starting to heat up. The horse has been working good. I've been since August 14th. I've been waiting for this to come out. Now, unfortunately, you like two horses that come out in the same race, so it's a bit tough, right? There's a third one in there, Glamorous Girl, you might want to entertain, but I really like Romantic Gizmo here.
Yeah, Glamorous Girl off the last workout, I had a little circle there, but I like your two. Romantic Gizmo, Giant Gizmo's up here with first-time starters attract my attention.
Yeah, and the barn does. They used to be a premier barn with two-year-olds, and they're still doing very well, so... And they're just eating up right now.
Yeah, and I talked with Nick Gonzalez about that one. Folks saw it a little bit earlier on the show. All right, let's get some ideas before we let you go on the two-year-old stakes tomorrow. I mentioned it earlier. Our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds have Decorated Invader coming up off a nice couple of starts down in Saratoga. So there's a little Homer rooting interest for me there. But Mark Cassie has some players. Catherine Day Phillips, Keep on Trucking. I think that one comes in very good form. Question mark, surface and distance. But, boy, has certainly been talented so far. Your thoughts in the summer?
Yeah, so you have a big buyer with that one, a 92 buyer. But, I mean, now anytime Todd Pletcher sends a horse with Velasquez or Christophe Clement, this could be the feature race of a while. The number one horse with Ology seems to have good form. So this is one of the premier races of the weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, and a horse that comes out of this becomes a nice player. And a division I like quite a bit, the three-year-olds on the turf. And the horse that comes out of this will be one of those to watch as the calendar turns. But Keep on Trucking for Catherine Day Phillips, I think, looks in. We talked with Eureka Da Silva about that one. That comes in. And I kind of like the stretch out. So for me, the question mark is more the surface switch.
You know what's the Please Call Me Back's a really nice horse. We lost Mr. Hustle in this race. I think Mr. Hustle would have been an even money favorite in this race and would have won for fun, to be honest. So Please Call Me Back has finished second to that one. And
also, Mr. Hustle was also a Atfield horse, right?
Yes,
yeah. So
that's right.
They were barnmates, essentially, because we talked to Roger Atfield.
Yeah.
Let's move on to race number 9 tomorrow, the Natalma. That is for the two-year-old girls. Again, a mile on the turf, grade 1 event. And again, it's another nice race with horses that will play into that three-year-old turf scene as the calendar page changes. But Fair Maiden coming in for Owen Hardy off a stakes win up here in the middle of August. But Coach Laurie, as I watched the pregame show yesterday, you had some notes on that one as well. What are your thoughts on the Natalma?
Yeah, so, I mean, Fair Maiden's going to take a lot of money. Flattery and Proud aboard. Winner stake race by here by 7. Walking Marrakesh should be tough. The horse has already 3 wins. I like Coach Laurie. I think you'll get a decent price. I'll go as far as saying this is my bet of the weekend. Hopefully you get 6-8-1. Just love the way the horse is training. Horse working 58-2. Started behind a mate, finished well in front very easily. The first race on the turf, laid back at the end, and Had a lot of work to do and did it nicely and has come back with a 47-1 work. Like I said, I'll make this my play of the weekend and hopefully you get a price.
All right. I'm writing Ernie next to Coach Laurie. And I think the 8-1, again, players look so much at the buyers that 61, you know, you have the 90s on Fair Maiden, you have a 70 with Saratoga Vision. I think the 60 will make people shy away a little bit. But with Mark Cassie and John Velasquez, I'm kind of with you. It wouldn't surprise me all to see this horse, which a lot of horses do, second career start, yeah. That buyer will jump off.
Yeah, and it's tough for me to come out and say that the horse is that good, like you said, off the 61 buyer. But, again, I'm just judging by works. Sometimes yeah. I just bet off works and I don't look so much at the others. But the Fair Maiden horse is going to be tough, obviously. And, you know, I'm just hoping to get a price and the horse is coming into it very well and has some potential.
That's why we like to talk to the clockers down at Saratoga. It's Mike Welch, and we get some good opinions from him. And on these two-year-old races, it often pays off because, again, they can get that kind of market improvement that does offer a little bit of value. Ernie, as always, yeah. we appreciate the visit. And again, look forward to seeing more of you on the pregame show. And folks can check out your Twitter as well. So, yeah. But we appreciate the thoughts on today and tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime you guys come up, it's my pleasure to be here.
Game plan next time up. We'll be back in the seat all again. Right. We'll go to a taped interview now. Speaking of some of the action today, Starship Jubilee in the Canadian coming out of the third last time down in our neck of the woods in the Ballston Spa. Sir Sahib and the Northern Dancer. It's trainer Kevin Attar, and he is up next. All right, in the Canadian, Starship Jubilee coming off of, we're based down in the Albany-Saratoga area, so we got to see her running third in the Ballston Spa.
Conquest Hard Candy is gone 3/4 and 1 12.68, led every step of the way. 55 is looping up on the outside with Starship Jubilee. They're both coming. Significant Form is in it too with Scottish Jig. Indian Blessing is driving through an opening on the inside. Conquest Hard Candy trying to get it out for another furlong. Significant Form, Indian Blessing chasing her home. Further out, Starship Jubilee. 55 on the far outside. Five of them are going to hit the wire. Significant Form won it.
What was the takeaway out of the Ballston Spa? How's she coming into the race on Saturday?
I thought she ran really well. Was anticipating a little bit of a quicker pace that day, but didn't transpire. She closed well to kind of run a tight third, and she came out of the race in great shape. Worked really well here last Saturday on the EP Taylor Turf Course. So heading into the race in wonderful condition. Yeah, I made the trip down. Great trip. Took my family down there. Everybody had a great time. So it was great to be there on such a great day.
It was a good close-up third-place finish as well. So looking forward to seeing her on Saturday. And the Northern Dancer, Sir Sahib, comes out of a nice second-place finish last time. Your takeaway from that race, and how's he come into the Saturday action?
Yeah, he's doing really well. He's been hindered by a lack of pace in his races this year here at the marathon distance. So I'm hoping in the Northern Dancer there'll be a bit of more of an honest pace for him. I think that'll help his chances. He's trained really well, and we're looking forward to seeing him run.
Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to Kevin Attar this afternoon, Starship Jubilee and Sir Sahib. But again, being a homer, Starship Jubilee after the ship down in the third in the Ballston Spa, be fun to see that one run well on Saturday afternoon. Stuart Simon, we usually catch up with him. He has some of the Chiefswood runners up here at Saratoga. And this afternoon, Yorkton, who won the Bold Venture last year, back in the Bold Venture against Pink Lloyd. So we talked a little bit, briefly, got a couple of minutes with Stuart Simon and his thoughts on the potential for Yorkton in the Bold Venture this afternoon. Saturday in the Bold Venture, Yorkton won this race last year. Last couple of races on the turf. What's your thoughts coming into the Bold Venture on Saturday with Yorkton?
I'm really happy the way he's training. He grabbed the corner pretty good his last start on the turf, and so we just kind of have to take a step back and get things right and regroup with him. And he's going into the race great, and I expect him to run well.
And again, surface switch, any concerns there?
No, I think he's just as good on the synthetic, if not maybe slightly better than on the turf. So yeah, he's pretty versatile that way.
Does it lend any confidence that he won the race last year?
As they turn in the Bold Venture, and Yorkton in front by a length to Boreal Spirit, Sweet Grass Creek coming on the inside, Sable Island, a big task for Pink Lloyd, is five behind, and Yorkton's runaway. Yorkton well ahead, four in front of Boreal Spirit, Pink Lloyd, Sweet Little Man, and Battle in Seattle, and it's Yorkton with a crushing win. Yorkton by about five, close for second.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you have luck in a certain race, and he ran really well in it last year. So, I mean, we definitely have to contend with Pink Lloyd. So we'll see how that goes, but it'll be interesting.
Yorkton, again, last year's winner of the Bold Venture, shows up again this year. Of course, last year he benefited a little bit from a little bit of a meltdown from Pink Lloyd, who broke through the gate before the race, loaded back in, and finished off the board. And subsequently, Eureka Da Silva came back and said, you know, when they loaded back in, his mind just wasn't in it. So you would think Pink Lloyd. I'm going with Pink Lloyd. Pink Lloyd, though, today, plenty of weight on board. So there will still be some opportunities. And with the win last year, Yorkton will be one of those that has that potential. All right, up next, Roger Atfield. We caught up with him yesterday. Just kind of waited at his barn for a little bit because he was out with a set. And then what happened a couple of minutes later? He rode up on horseback. And so Roger Atfield, fresh from taking his horses over to the track on horseback, sat down with us, or got down from the horse, and talked with us a little bit about this afternoon. Tis a Slam in the Northern Dancer. And again, we parsed out Saturday and Sunday runners with all of these folks. And so we'll have pretty much this game plan tomorrow as well, talking about Sunday runners. But as far as Atfield for today, it's Tis a Slam. He's up next.
Phil, a couple of stakes runners this weekend we want to talk about, but before we do that, you've got your hat on. We saw you coming in after a set out on the track. Are you out on the horse every morning?
Yeah, I ride out with just about every set, yeah.
And how many sets go out typically in the morning?
Six.
What time does that start?
We start at 5:30.
Also wanted to, as I'm looking at the notes here, pretty good season, according to Daily Racing Forum, 15 winners, 91 starters so far this season. How's the Woodbine season gone for you?
Yeah, it's been going very well. I haven't been running that many horses, but, you know, we've been doing okay, and can't complain.
One of those horses that has chopped up some wins, Tis a Slam. A couple of stakes wins coming into the Northern Dancer on Saturday afternoon. Five-year-old with 9 wins and 26 starts, knocking on the door for $1 million. What are your thoughts for Tis a Slam in the Northern Dancer on Saturday?
Well, I think he's been running really well this year. He's a good sound horse and a very happy horse. He's just came in, actually. He's training very, very well. I'd rather not see the rain tonight, to be honest with you, but that said, he's set to run. He's going to run his race again, you know, and you know, whether he's good enough or not against the ones that are coming in. I haven't, to be honest with you, I didn't get back from Kingman until really late last night, and I haven't had a chance to really sit down and study it, but he's doing really, really well. So
I guess the game plan is go to the front and far as you go, take them all away.
Not necessarily. I mean, he doesn't have to be on the lead, but he does need to get that big stride of his just going. And, you know, the way the races have been coming up, that's the way he's found himself there, and he's happy there. And this year he's got more turn of foot than he had before. You know, it's like he's a big, gangly horse for a long time. And he's a really big, strong, sound horse now. And, you know, he's happy running that way, but he doesn't necessarily, if somebody wants to lead, he can't sit off them, you know.
As they say, he's knocking on $1 million, very talented. Did you know that early on with this one?
Yeah, well, actually, when I first inherited this horse as a two-year-old, he was so big, and I said, well, I said to my assistants, you know, that we won't be running this horse this year, probably. And finished out running 4 times and winning 3 of them. And, you know, but he was still very awkward, and he was the type of horse that you couldn't have him in a race and have to check him. He couldn't get him going again. You know, he had to always have it, get that big stride going. And but now he's more versatile now. You know, he's a totally mature horse, and he's got some coordination to him now, you know.
Tis a Slam this afternoon in the Northern Dancer for Roger Atfield. We thank him for taking the time, as well as the rest of their trainers and connections on the backstretch. Eureka Da Silva down in the jocks room as well yesterday, as we bounced around and grabbed some interviews. Again, most of these folks had horses tomorrow as well, so we've parsed out tomorrow's Racing Across America. You'll hear their thoughts on their Sunday runners coming up tomorrow. Also, we will be joined live by Tom Bellhouse, as I mentioned, from West Point Thoroughbreds, and they have the nice runner in the Summer Stakes tomorrow, Decorated Invader, who ran well up at Saratoga. So we'll talk live with Tom and more on tomorrow's Racing Across America. Don't forget, 9 o'clock tomorrow, Handicapper Support, 10 o'clock, Racing Across America, again, live from Woodbine. Happy to be here. They always treat us very well. The hospitality has continued through this trip, and as I said a couple of times already this morning, if you have, or particularly if you haven't made the trip up here to Woodbine, do put that on the agenda. Quick trip from our Capital District area down the Thruway to Buffalo, then up another 45 minutes or an hour to the Toronto area. The track is a lot of fun. It's a great, clean facility. Lots of dining options on track, and you can explore Toronto as well, which is right around the corner. But with the two turf courses, lots of betting opportunities that people like to jump into on the grass courses. So, again, keep in mind a visit here to Woodbine for your agenda. Again, if you want to see stakes action, the International coming up in a few weeks up here as well. But just on a day-to-day basis, it's a lot of fun. Hopefully we gave you some good ideas on this Woodbine Mile card. Again, tomorrow, two-year-olds in the Natalma in the summer. Some other stakes action as well. We'll cover that starting at 9 with the Handicapper Support, 10 with Racing Across America. Don't forget, Woodbine Mile Day today at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. First 50 folks through the door get a bet voucher. First 75 folks through the door also get a sharp-looking Woodbine ball cap. So stop down, Clubhouse Racebook today, 711 Central Avenue in Albany for Woodbine Mile Day. Again, 20-cent increments on the pick bets. You can jump in and put together a very budget-minded ticket and still have lots of coverage up here at Woodbine this afternoon. Take your shot and have some fun. Good card, a couple of nice stories, at least a couple of nice stories potentially with Pink Lloyd and Got Stormy. They'll be fun to watch and see what happens. But whatever you do, just jump in and take a look at that Woodbine action and play this afternoon. Have some fun. Hopefully, as I say, we gave you some good ideas that'll get you started there. We'll do more of the same tomorrow at 9 a.m. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.